Welcome to Money Life Weekend. I'm Chuck Bentley. My guest today is Rusty Leonard, CEO of Stewardship Partners Investment Counsel. Rusty, welcome to Money Life.
Hey, thank you, Chuck. It's a pleasure to be with you once again.
Well, how are you doing?
We're doing pretty good. No complaints. Just too much snow up here in my area.
Well, today we're going to get an economic update, and there are a lot of interesting things going on in the world that affect all of us. In 2008, we saw the nation of Iceland go broke, and now we're watching Greece. They look like they're teetering on the edge. Do you think Greece is going to go bankrupt?
No, Chuck, I think they'll probably be able to avoid it, but they'll have to have some help from their friends to pull that off. And when I say their friends, I'm talking primarily about the European Union. And at the moment, they're really just talking back and forth to one another, trying to negotiate the best possible scenario for each party. And that creates a little uncertainty. But I think in the end, the European Economic Union realizes that it's in their own best interest to make sure that Greece is able to make some changes that will be positive for the nation, but also to give them a little money to so that they can make those changes over a more lengthy period of time and not have kind of catastrophic impacts on the Greek economy.
Well, I know it's interesting because the lender, in this case the EU, is setting some parameters for their loan to Greece, and they're talking about putting Greece on an austerity plan. Do you think that kind of plan may be coming to the U.S. soon?
I hope so. We certainly need an austerity plan after what has happened in the last two years and year and a half, really, when we've blown out the spending on the federal government side here in the U.S. well above what is necessary in the long run. So, yeah, whether it comes with voluntarily or as a result of the voters or as a result of the bond market, I'm sure hopeful that we start moving down that path because it's very important for our nation to get its fiscal house in order before it's required to do so by the markets.
Well, Rusty, how did a nation like Greece get itself in such a terrible predicament?
Well, the main thing is they didn't follow the biblical principles the crown has helped so many people with over the years, and they didn't follow those. They went out and they spent and they did not earn, and they followed the socialistic path rather than the capitalistic path. They entrenched government servants and paid them too much money, and they didn't do much work. And all this classic things that comes with socialism, they followed that path, and it's caught up with them now.
Well, you can't violate God's financial principles and expect things to go well, can you, Rusty?
No, not at all.
Well, we're going to talk about what that means to us here in the U.S. when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. My guest today is Rusty Leonard. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Has the economy pressured you to rethink your career? Does your heart long to take the next step and pursue God's true calling for your life? Whether you're planning for your first job or your last, the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries can help. With Career Direct, you'll analyze four critical areas: your personality, skills, interests, and values. You'll learn more about the real you and develop a plan to grow personally and professionally. You'll learn to see your strengths. And the Career Direct Complete Guidance System is designed from a biblical perspective to help you maximize your career by maximizing your God-given gifts and abilities. Career Direct can be completed in about an hour online. For more, go to CareerDirectOnline.org and try the free Personality ID Profile. That's CareerDirectOnline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life Weekend. I'm Chuck Bentley. My guest today is Rusty Leonard, CEO of Stewardship Partners Investment Counsel. Rusty, we were talking about Greece and its problems with its sovereign debt. What does this debt crisis mean to us here in the U.S.?
It means many things, Chuck, but first and foremost, it's kind of like the canary in the coal mine for coal miners. It's a warning signal to us. You know, the Greece government has followed a path that was imprudent. And we are now on a path that is imprudent in a long-term perspective. They are further down that path, and they are suffering the consequences as a result of their poor decision-making. So we here in the U.S. and really many other countries, even some will be at risk before we will be at risk, need to pay attention to what's happening in Greece and learn those lessons and try to, you know, steer away from the path that Greece is on so that bigger trouble can be avoided for our nation and for many other nations, really, that are out there.
Rusty, some of the articles that I've read said that the European Union is under a great deal of stress right now, that many of those countries are not in good health financially, which the data indicates that's true, and that by having to bail out one of their member countries, that this could possibly lead to the breakup of the European Union. Do you think that's possible?
Well, it's possible, Chuck, but I don't think it's likely. I think it's a very low probability. Greece having its financial troubles is kind of like here in the U.S., something like, say, Maryland having financial troubles. It's not too hard for the overall union, the economic union in Europe, to take care of that situation without a lot of cost to them. But the key component there would be to stop the spread at that stage of the game. If it were to spread beyond Greece, then the costs start rising and become meaningful, and that it could then threaten the economic union.
Well, Rusty, speaking of our problems here in the U.S., there's a lot of data that indicates that California and New York are on the path to bankruptcy. Do you think the rest of the country is going to have to come and bail out these states that are overspending their budgets?
Temporarily, we may have to, but I believe that would—I would hope it would at least come in terms of loans that would eventually be paid back. And certainly, these states, excuse me, have the ability to cut their spending and raise their taxation if necessary to get their budgets in balance. It's really just that they have politicians who are unwilling to make the tough decisions. So sometimes you almost have to go to the brink in order for the correct decisions to be made and to get on the right course. And we may see that in those two cases where we take it right to the brink, and you know the bailout has to come in, but it comes with conditions, hopefully, so that they get their fiscal house in order.
You know, from my perspective, Rusty, there's a lot of correlations to comparing the problem of Greece as a part of the European Union to the problem that we have here in the U.S. with some of our states. If we start to bail them out, although it may seem like a small problem, with the financial condition of our federal government already compromised, it only exacerbates the fiscal challenges that we're already having, doesn't it?
That's true. However, to not deal with it, to let it go bankrupt, would even make it worse. So it's the lesser of two evils that you have to choose there. And while the U.S. government has fiscal problems, we can continue to move forward without a crisis erupting, most likely. So we still have some flexibility left. And if we were to let California go bankrupt and not try to help them out of that situation, it would much accelerate the problems we face as a nation. So I think that the logical course would be to bail out California in some manner, if it comes down to that, but to do so with a lot of conditions attached so that they are forced to take the right action, because they're unable, they have such weird rules in terms of their legislature in California that they'd be unable to make progress without some outside force making that happen.
Well, Rusty, let's talk about unemployment, because many people are continuing to say that we're going to see Wall Street improve, but Main Street is not going to improve, that this jobless trend is going to be here to stay for a while. The official numbers are unemployment has fallen to 9.7%. Do you think the job market is really improving, or are we seeing a manipulation of these numbers?
No, the job market really is improving, but it's improving from a very bad level, so the improvement's not going to be, the average person is not going to feel that improvement to any great extent, or hasn't yet so far. I think in the coming months, we'll be talking about how the unemployment rate has dropped a fair amount just because of the addition of all the census workers. So you're going to have a big push on the employment side as those people are hired over the next few months, but then later in the year, those people will be laid off again. And at that point, it'll be very critical that the overall economy is continuing to improve and that the Wall Street success is translated into job success. And, frankly, I think that's going to happen. That is always what has happened. In every recovery, businesses, first have to get their own act in order. They have to feel confident that they've passed the worst. And once that happens, then once they have that comfort level and have some degree of belief that the positive trend is going to be maintained for a while, then they start hiring. And all the labor market indicators that we look at here at Stewardship Partners all point to an improving job market as the time goes by.
Well, Rusty, that would certainly be very welcome news. Do you think that would allow us to eliminate what Washington keeps talking about with another jobs bill, more deficit spending in order to create jobs? Will that no longer be necessary?
I wish we could stop that somehow, but unfortunately, you know, this is a election year, so you know that jobs bill is going to go through just for the political points that the politicians hope to score on that basis. But you know, government really doesn't create sustainable jobs or smart jobs. They create jobs that they fund some university professor to study the mating habits of earthworms or something. You know, these are not jobs that are productive jobs, and so we don't really. While government spending can create jobs in the short run, they don't create the jobs we really want that are conducive to long-term economic growth. So hopefully, the government can sooner or later manage to get out of the way and let businesses do the job that they do very effectively.
Rusty, I know that roughly 75% of the people who have jobs in this country are employed by what's considered a smaller mid-sized firm. What's the outlook for those industries, those small businesses, so that they can begin hiring again? Because that's where the real lift is going to come from.
Yeah, there's a couple of key points there. One is just that the banking system gets healthy again, and it's well on its way to doing that. Now, there are going to be some bumps in the road there, particularly for smaller banks, which is what oftentimes service the small business. So there could be some issues with the commercial real estate market hindering the ability of smaller banks to loan effectively, and that could hurt the small and mid-sized company trying to create jobs. So that's one problem. The other problem is just a matter of confidence again. That small business owner, you know, at this point in time is looking at a government that is going to be increasing regulation, increasing taxes, and, you know, the average small businessman feels like he has a target on his back. The president has recently been trying to calm that rhetoric down and kind of move in a different direction. That may help small business confidence a little bit, but in the end, it'll be those taxes and regulations that if they come flooding through the gate, that's going to be a limitation on job creation. So hopefully our federal government recognizes those risks of some of their policies and turns away from them.
You're listening to Money Life. My guest is Rusty Leonard. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. Crown Financial Ministries is proud to introduce God Provides, a new film learning experience featuring Golden Globe nominee Dean Jones.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand?
Through epic storytelling, this series of six short films presents timeless illustrations of God's never-failing ability to provide for His people. See the hand of God at work in engaging biblical stories that remain true even today in making life decisions. With each film, you'll receive a companion guide with discussion questions and activities to use with your family or a group. God Provides is available now at crown.org or by calling 1-800-722-1976. To learn more about the films, visit crown.org/God Provides.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. My guest today is Rusty Leonard, and we're talking about his outlook for the economy, and we're going to turn our attention to Wall Street. Rusty, in just a second, I'm going to ask you if you're bullish or bearish, but explain to me what those two terms mean.
Yes, bullish, of course, means that when people are hopeful and excited about the outlook for the economy, that the stock market is in an improving mode, so that people are making money in the market, and that there's a trend that is one that is hopeful, and people are more than happy to commit their dollars to invest in stocks because they figure there's a good chance they're going to make a nice profit off it. And bearish is just the opposite. Bearish is when people feel like, oh my gosh, you know, there's a growling bear out the door and life isn't looking too good right now and I got to get my money out of the market. And so there's a downward trend in the market.
So bullish would mean you're confident about the future of the performance of the market, and bearish means you are either running scared or certainly timid. And I think I know your response in advance, Rusty. I'm going to guess you're bullish.
Well, I would say I'm a cautious bull. There's certainly a lot of good things that are going on in the corporate marketplace. Corporate earnings have been better than they've been. The surprises on the upside have been very, very strong, better than they've been since 1980. So that's a very positive development for the stock market. Of course, that's the element where Wall Street's doing well, where maybe Main Street hasn't quite picked up yet to the same extent. But I do think that Main Street's picking up as well, and I think you're going to see that as the months go by. And as we see the data coming out from the government, I think it'll be, you know, on a gradual improving trend. And so that there's a underlying strength to the marketplace and an increasingly bullish attitude that will pervade the marketplace. However, there are many potholes. And So we need to be aware of those, and that you could easily get knocked off base here. So there's still a bear growling around the door. You just have to be real careful that you don't let him in.
Well, Rusty, I know the mood has changed significantly over the last 2 years. It used to be that if you were a doom and gloomer, that you were in the minority. Today, the minority are those who have a contrarian view, a view that we are going to have a slow, sustained recovery. Do you believe it's going to be a sustained recovery without a lot of setbacks?
I do think we'll have some setbacks, certainly for the marketplace. The market will sniff out potential worries and freak out about them from time to time. So the market will probably bounce around a lot more than the actual economy will. I do think the economy is on a bullish track right now and an improving trend. And while we'll have setbacks from here and again that will be probably minor in nature, I wouldn't expect us to fall into a deep recession at this stage of the game. It looks like we're pretty well locked into a recovery that hopefully will become self-sustaining once the government starts to back out some of its support. And we'll have a good test for that this year because the Federal Reserve is already in the process of starting to back off some of their support for the marketplace. And their support was critical for the economy and for the stock market and the bond market. And as they back that out and kind of turn the reins back over to the private marketplace, we'll see how we do. But I think that there's a good chance it'll be a positive result.
Well, Rusty, I know one of the things that's happened in recent months is there's become a backlash against those who are actually prospering. And it seems like every day we read an attack in the media or coming out of Washington over some financial institution, bank, or even privately held company that they think is making too much money. What do you make of that, Rusty? Why are people so upset about profitable enterprises?
Well, I think, first of all, they're just upset. I mean, so they're looking for somebody to holler at. And a banker making seven figures is a pretty easy target. Whether it's justifiable or not is a whole other matter. It's just going to happen in this kind of structure. People, I don't know if it's so much envy that they're envious of these guys. It's just that they're mad that they're suffering in some manner and that somebody else is somewhat prospering, perhaps, at their cost. And so I think there's an injustice factor, I think, that is playing into these types of thoughts. And, of course, politicians prey on that to a large degree in order to generate emotions and votes. And so those things, I think, will pass as the economy continues to improve and as people begin to see in their own lives that things are getting better for them. They'll stop being so envious and disconcerted by perceived injustice. And in some cases, I suspect that injustice is actual real. It's not just perceived.
You know, Rusty, you help people to improve their wealth. That's a big part of your job, is to be entrusted with the investment strategy and advice that you give to people who have resources to invest. And the goal is to increase those resources. And, Rusty, you and I both agree that there's absolutely nothing wrong with a Christian having an abundance of resources, is there?
No, I agree entirely with that. Obviously, we want to have that because it puts us in a position to give and to give generously to the needs of others. And my belief and what I hope we at least as a Christian community, if not as a nation, can pursue is what I like to refer to as compassionate Christian capitalism. So you use the tool of capitalism to help you build that abundance, to put you in a place where you can give from a generous and cheerful spirit to the many needs that would still exist out there. And we know that, first of all, that if we have a capitalist system that's working, that there's going to be fewer poor people because capitalism has been the best antidote for poverty that's ever been invented. But there will always be some poor with us, and if we are in a position of abundance, we're in a better place to give and to give effectively to help those who are in need. And to the extent that we as the church do that, we can probably block the government out of the system altogether because their giving is oftentimes foolish and not rewarded with the best behaviors that come from that. So I think, a compassionate Christian type of capitalism is really the best solution, and that we have every reason to go out there and try to seek an abundance to put ourselves in a position where we can give and give generously.
Well, Rusty, I know that you've expressed that you're a cautious bull. So where do you think is a safe place to invest right now?
Well, first, Chuck, let me address one place where I think many people may be making a mistake and thinking that they're safe, and when they may turn out not to be safe. And that's in any kind of fixed income type of security or a money market security. Bonds and money market securities can really get hurt in an inflationary environment, and that's one of the big risks that looms out on the horizon. So we do want to be very careful with not putting too much money in what we perceive to be safe assets, which may really get hurt by inflationary tendencies in the long run.
Well, Rusty, I think it's very important for our listeners to understand what you're advising us here. So let's talk more about inflation and some safe places to invest when we come back. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Rusty Leonard. We'll be right back.
You know, God encourages us to invest, and he says in Ecclesiastes 11:2 to spread out or diversify to lower our risk. And one of the best ways to diversify is mutual funds. That's why Crown Financial Ministries offers the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, a step-by-step guide to managing your money from a biblical perspective written by Austin Prior. Recently updated to address timely topics, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook is one of the most comprehensive guides available on mutual fund investing. Yet, it's still easy to understand and use. And since this handbook is written from a biblical perspective, it'll teach you how to apply God's financial principles to your investing decisions. So whether you're a beginning investor or one with more experience, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook will help you invest more wisely. To get a copy, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life Weekend. I'm Chuck Bentley. Rusty, thanks for hanging on. I want you to finish that answer. You said that there's a risk of inflation, and many people could make some mistakes about their portfolio. So help us understand, where do you think is a good place to be invested right now?
Yeah, on the positive side, I said on the negative side, we wanted to be careful about not having too much money in quote-unquote safe investments. On the positive side, you want to probably have, in an inflationary environment, you're going to want to have more exposure to commodities, real estate, and equities. And I would also suggest that having your equities diversified on a global basis, you know, inside and outside the United States of America, would be a wise decision. Inflation has a corrosive impact on so many things, but the stock market in particular, and equities, corporations, have the ability to adjust to these things much easier than many other asset classes do. And so companies will make what adjustments they need to in order to increase their profits, and you'll see the stock prices go up in an inflationary environment. So one of the things that people do find is that equities are a good place to be when inflation kicks in. Now, we don't have inflation yet, so that's not an issue just yet, but most believe that we will eventually have to deal with some inflationary bias.
Well, it begs the question, Rusty, when do you think inflation is going to arrive?
I don't think we're going to see it this year. There's still too much overcapacity in terms of employment and factory utilization, so there's still excess capacity, and so there's not an inflationary push there. But from a monetary perspective, there's a big growth in money supply, as everyone knows, and as the velocity of money increases, which is a technical term that I won't get into, as that increases, then that could put some pressure on the inflation rates. And we're starting to see inflation creep in just a little bit. We saw a little bit here with some reports recently, just a tad, but if that continues to move higher, we'll start to have, you know, there'll be a big worry on Wall Street about that, and you'll see anything that is impacted negatively by inflation, like bonds, there'll be a lot of selling of bonds as a result of something like that occurring.
Well, Rusty, I know your time is valuable, and you've shared a lot of it with us today. I appreciate you very much. Thanks for being with us.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
Well, Chuck, as we wrap up this edition of Money Life, let our listeners in, especially those who listen in Raleigh, about an upcoming event.
Well, Dave, not only Raleigh, but we are going on the road with the God Provides Film Learning Experience, and we've heard from other listeners who've said, come to my area. In fact, one listener wrote and said, hey, don't forget the Great Northwest. We'd like you to come out this way. But we are headed to Raleigh, North Carolina. We'll be there Thursday, March 18th at Providence Baptist Church. We're going to start at 7 p.m., and this is a family-friendly event, so we'll end on time at 8:30. But we're going to be showing Abraham and Isaac and The Widow and the Oil, two of the short films from the God Provides series. I'm going to be there live teaching as well as interacting with the audience, and I truly hope that if you're a Money Life listener, you will put it on your schedule to be there. You can register online at crown.org/register, and you'll find directions and other important information.
Well, thanks, Chuck. Once again, that information is available at crown.org/register. Well, for Chuck and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life Weekend.